Hello and welcome to another broadcast. We call it Plain and Simple. We're looking in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9 on a serious qualification of a deacon that's usually overlooked. We're looking at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9, another qualification for a deacon, and it says he must be holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Holding the mystery of the faith? What is this talking about? Holding means to lay hold of something. Example, we use a phrase, you need to lay hold of the truth. In this case, you need to lay hold of the mystery. Now, this word mystery is in the scriptures 27 times, and refers to something that is hidden. Well, why would the faith be hidden? Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure or a clear understanding conscience. Now, the conscience is the soul distinguishing what is right and prompting one to do what is right. This is a very interesting verse, and it is often just overlooked when it comes to the qualification of a deacon, but it is very important. To understand the importance of this verse, it is necessary to have an understanding of what is meant here by the mystery, and it is also necessary to understand what is meant by the faith. The mystery. When the Word of God reveals a mystery, it reveals a secret that was not previously known or understood. For example, in Mark chapter 4, verse number 11, Christ said to his disciples, "Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables." That secret had nothing to do with the mystery that Paul is talking about here. That secret had to do with Jews and only the Jews, and nothing in common at all with the mystery that Paul is talking about. In Romans chapter 16, verse number 25, Paul referred to his as my gospel. The phrase simply means good news. My gospel means my good news. Paul said to him that is of the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. In Romans 16:25. Now he's obviously got something, he's learned something, he has a secret that's been revealed to him, and we need to understand what that is, because that's what this qualification is talking about. Now in Ephesians 3 and verse 3, Paul said, "By the revelation of Christ, who made known unto me the mystery." So this mystery that he got it from Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 3 and 4, Paul's desire was that ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Then in Ephesians 3, 9, Paul's ministry was to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now he said to everyone, "I want you to understand this mystery." And this particular mystery, he said, was hidden from the world, from the beginning of the world. It was hidden. And then in Ephesians 6 and 19, Paul's desire was that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery. Now again, he's got a mystery. He understands something that nobody else understands. It was hidden from the foundation of the world. In Colossians 1:29, Paul referred to the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. So this is this mystery that the deacon needed to understand. In Colossians 4:3, Paul asked for prayer that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Now, referring to the council meeting at Jerusalem where they were trying to figure out how God wanted things done, Paul said, "But of these who seem to be somewhat in conference, it added nothing to me." Why did he say that? Well, Paul had received this revelation, this mystery, straight from Christ. The men at that council meeting in Jerusalem could argue all day, but Paul said, but of these who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. They had no new information for him. He said in Galatians 1 and verse number 12, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy 3:9, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said one of the qualifications for the deacon in the local church, and it still is a qualification, is that they would be holding or hanging on to the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Now, what is meant by the faith? In 1 Timothy 4, number 1, we are told that the latter days some shall depart from the faith. It is obviously not referring to salvation. It is referring to the system of truth that is held by those who are followers of Christ. The new system of truth that was revealed to Paul was the fact that God's program was now going to be done in the local churches. We need to understand that immediately after Paul was saved, we read in Acts chapter 9 and verse 6, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Well, here begins a very important timeline in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. We find, first of all, he went to Damascus looking for any of this way, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Well, we know, second, that he met Christ as he journeyed, and he came near to Damascus. After he met with Ananias and received his sight, the Bible says he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 17 says, then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Verse 20 tells us, straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Down in verse 22, it says that Saul confounded Paul, we call him now, confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. We read in 22 that he continued preaching for many days were fulfilled, and the Jews took counsel to kill him. Verse 25 tells us, then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. Now what did he do? We read that he traveled over 100 miles to Arabia. Why did he do that? He said in Galatians 1:17, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Galatians 1:17. Well, in Galatians 1:18, we read, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Very, very interesting, is it not? He got saved. He went after he got his life threatened because he was preaching Christ. He was let down the wall in a basket. He took over 100-mile trip to Arabia. Doesn't tell us how long he was there, but it says in Galatians 1:17, I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, verse 18, he said, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. And he and Peter became very, very good friends. Well, in Acts chapter 26 and 27 tells us when Saul came to Jerusalem, or Paul, he assuaged to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Acts 9:28-29 tells us he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed with the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Well, Paul's life was in danger, so the believers in Jerusalem, it says, brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Now, we do not know how long he was in Tarsus. The next thing we hear of him is in Acts chapter 11, verse 25, when the local church at Antioch was getting organized, it says, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. Now, Paul was, and again, his name was changed from Saul to Paul. And Paul was the only person on the face of the earth at that time who knew about the new system of the faith as we know it now in this local church dispensation. That is, he knew how God wanted to do things in our local church age. So we're into a new dispensation and a new set of instructions. Now, why did Paul travel 100 miles to go and get those instructions? Well, he left Damascus. He went over to 100 miles to the same area where Moses had received instructions for the dispensation of the law. And we read in Galatians 1, verses 11 and 12, Paul said, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." And so, like Moses, he met with Christ on the mountain. How long he was alone there in Arabia is uncertain. Paul said in Galatians 17, again, he said, "I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus." Perhaps like Moses, he was 40 days on the mountain receiving instructions. We do not know. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God." Paul met with Christ and learned one of God's secrets. The secret had to do with the local church dispensation. Paul started at Antioch and then spent the rest of his life revealing, 1 Timothy 3:15, "how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." And so the mystery, Ephesians 3:3, "how that by the revelation Christ made known unto me the mystery." Ephesians 3:4, "ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery." Ephesians 3:5, "which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Ephesians 3:6, "that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body." Ephesians 3:9, "and to make all men," that is Jews and Gentiles, "see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." So we go back to our verse that says that the deacon has to be holding or hanging on to the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. The mystery was the new system. Again, in 1 Timothy 3:9, the phrase "the faith" is not referring to salvation. It is obviously referring to the system of truth rather than a faith concerning salvation. The faith, or the system of truth, has to do with how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, 1 Timothy 3:15. The pillar and ground of the truth had previously been the Jewish temple. Now it is the local church. When Paul gave this qualification for deacons, it was required that he be capable of holding the mystery of the faith. He was saying that the deacon must have a very pure, no mixture, clear understanding of the difference between the dispensation of the law and the dispensation of the local church. Today, it is very important, a deacon qualification, that they understand the error of the universal church dogma. 1 Timothy 4:1 warns us that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. In our day of apostasy, this qualification for deacons requires that they have a clear understanding of the difference between the unscriptural so-called universal church and the local church. The universal church virus has been the major promoter of the apostasy that we face today. The deacons need to understand and have a clear understanding that God's program for today is the local church, not all these parachurch organizations that have cropped up. Well, here we are, out of time again. Hardly got started. Be sure and tune in again tomorrow. We will continue in this, where we will try to make the Word of God plain and simple.